You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent US Supreme Court ruling found a violation of the Voting Rights Act in an Alabama congressional map. I spoke to Associate Professor of History at the University of Auckland, Jennifer Frost, about what the ruling means for voters' rights and racial discrimination in voting in Alabama and the U.S. as a whole.
Well, first of all, it must be said this is an incredibly surprising and unexpected decision from this conservative-dominated Supreme Court. People who believe in voting rights and racial equality are calling this a huge win, monumental decision, and just really incredibly good news. So what happens in the United States is after every census, the congressional districts are redrawn by the state legislatures. And in the past, before the Voting Rights Act of 1965, legislatures were very much interested in what we would call partisan gerrymandering, so drawing the lines to ensure that the dominant party keeps winning elections, both in the state legislature and then that affects the federal Congress, too. So after the 2020 election, we saw in Alabama, as well as all sorts of other states, efforts to redraw congressional districts to dilute the power of Democrats because these legislatures were Republican-dominated. And often in many of these different states, Democrats tend to be racial minorities. So the Voting Rights Act says that you cannot discriminate on the basis of race in terms of limiting the right to vote. And so absolutely, the Supreme Court passed a decision that said the Alabama maps violate Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and they have to redraw their maps.
And we're seeing in Alabama and other southern conservative states, we've seen them enforcing policies that essentially block Black Americans from voting. Could you talk to some of the barriers that people of color and Black people in particular are experiencing when it comes to voting in the U.S.?
Yes, actually, I would branch that out. So, of course, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was focused on African Americans, and it is we got that Voting Rights Act because of the activism, the movement, the legal challenges of African Americans for civil and voting rights. So that's absolutely foundational. But that law also affected Indigenous Americans. It affects Latino Americans, and other Americans are, really covered by that as well. So we've seen, kind of the moving back of rights to vote in states like Arizona for Indigenous Americans, in Texas for Latino Americans. So this victory that was organized, by the NAACP, by African American voting rights organizations and really pushed by them, it's going to benefit racial minorities across the board in the United States. And what we've seen is all sorts of different legislation that targets individual voters, so things like, making it hard to vote, making it harder to find a place to vote, to register to vote, rejections of people's voter registration. But this gerrymandering is particularly egregious in the sense because it's more systemic. So even if you get a lot of people out to vote and they can overcome these, individual barriers to voting, the structural systemic situation is so disadvantaged for racial minorities, particularly for the Democratic Party in these different states, that it's just impossible to overcome. Now, that said, partisan gerrymandering also happens in Democratic-led states. And in fact, there's been a lot of calls for reform on the Democratic side. But the problem is, does the Democratic Party want to kind of give up on partisan gerrymandering where they dominate, when Republicans are doing it to an extreme where they dominate? So essentially, it's sort of a stalemate in that case.
And you've talked about other states experiencing these issues. What do you expect will happen now that this landmark decision has been made?
Well, it's terrific, I think, on two counts. One, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, has made his career to roll back the Voting Rights Act of 1965. He was in the Reagan administration in the Department of Justice. He wrote the majority decision in 2013 that rolled back a crucial part of the Voting Rights Act. So to have him pen this decision that is pro-voting rights, that maintains the precedent of the Voting Rights Act, at least Section 2, is just terrific and really bodes well for the future. The second thing is it calls into question already, of course, the maps in Alabama, but people are saying North Carolina, Louisiana, Georgia, other states, this is already going to be affecting cases that are pending there. And it could mean the difference, really, in a change of power, political power in these states, both at the state legislature level and for the federal Congress.
And like you said, this is a very surprising ruling, given that the current Supreme Court is conservative-leaning. And we saw that Brett Kavanaugh chose to side with the minority this time of Democrat judges. Do you think that this could indicate that Kavanaugh in particular could be willing to side with the Democratic judges on other issues?
I am actually feeling a bit optimistic. Now, the argument that he made is that, of course, the Voting Rights Act is precedent, right, is established precedent. Now, he voted last year in the Dobbs decision to overturn precedent in terms of abortion rights. So it's, is he talking out both sides of his mouth? But it might be at this point he's come around to realize that this court, to maintain its legitimacy, needs to be more consistent with how the court has acted historically. So it is very, very optimistic, I think, in this case. The other thing is this ruling was kind of held up right before the 2022 midterm elections. Basically, in that case, Kavanaugh was what we would call kind of against voting rights. So he has switched from last year to this year. So I think, there's a bit of sign of hope here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.